Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio. You are the inspired and the inspiration. We want to say thank you so much for hanging out this afternoon, catching the live show. And if you don't catch the live show, don't worry. We're going to be podcasting here shortly in a few hours over on iTunes and YouTube. I am your co-host, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in Seattle, Washington, the beautiful Pacific Northwest. And I want to just say, let's sit back for the next 45 minutes or so, and let's talk about our first responders. Let's talk about our veterans. Let's talk about our those that serve and the PTSD that can come along with that. I want to just open with a quote from Michael Connelly that talks about you can't patch a wounded soul with a Band-Aid. And our special guest today is going to be talking in more depth about that. But real quick, before we jump into the show, if you want to work with me, you can go to marklanehart.com, internet search The Intuitive Prospector. I would be honored and humbled to work with you, help you do a little spiritual prospecting for your own spiritual gold. You can also catch me on Monday mornings for Metaphysical Mocha Mondays through my YouTube and Facebook channel. And you can catch us here every Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, here on the Om Times Radio Network. And with that, my co-host, Kim Salkin, founder of Love First, has made her soul adventure from the East Coast back to the West Coast. It's been a few weeks, but she is joining us live now from the beautiful state of California. Hi, Kim.
Hey, Mark. Hi, Inspired listeners. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there one day at a time. Been battling some vertigo and dizzy issues, so just trying to maintain best I can. How about yourself? Are you all settled in California there?
Well, I'm here. I'm not completely settled in yet, but I'm kind of, you know, ad-libbing along the way until everything's settled and my office is in place and everything else is in place. But that's how it goes, you know. That's what change is about, and so you go
that's
with
right.
it. And look, I'm excited to be back here on the West Coast. I missed it out here. Definitely missed Virginia too. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. Beautiful state. Beautiful people. And so, you know, life brings about all kinds of shifts and changes and new experiences that come with that. And new energy, you know, that the West Coast energy is so much different than the East Coast. So, So, anyways, good to be back here in the state of California. And if you'd like to connect with me, you can do that at lovefirst.info. Certainly, if there's any way that I can support you through readings, healings, or hypnosis, don't hesitate to reach out. So lovefirst.info is the best way to do that. I'm not going to be seeing people in person until probably the second week of August or so because my office space is being renovated now. So anyways, it's all good. But if you'd like to interact with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook under Inspired Living Radio, Twitter, and Instagram under Inspired for Us. And this is where you can interact with us and find out more about upcoming shows and send through your questions. And certainly if you missed the live show, you can also catch up with us on all of our archives on Om Times Radio, Podbean, SoundCloud, marklanehart.com, YouTube, iTunes, lovefirst.info. And we got a lot of great things going on. Today's inspired affirmation, I should say. Mark, you know, I'm a little out of the loop. The last one we left off with is one that I love, but certainly
okay, let's do it.
Well, yeah, right. You can't.
Do it. You can have two. We can have three if you want.
There you go. There you go. That's moving with the flow of life, right?
Right.
And the last one that we had in place when I did the last show in Virginia was I closed my eyes to see. And that's an important one. You know, you got to go inside for the answers. And that's how we do it more than often. Mm-hmm. That's where we find it. So, yeah. So anyways, so back to you, Mark. I know we've got a really great guest on today. He's going to share some very important information on a topic that a lot of people have, you know, suffered from or seen others suffer from. So,
yeah, exactly. And I'm just the second mantra for this positive affirmation for July, just to add to what you said, which is very important. We close our eyes to see because it does come from within, not from out without. But just to add to that for our inspired listeners is the positive living affirmation is I have a winner's mindset. And I love accomplishing my goals. I have a winner's mindset, and I love accomplishing my goals. So two great messages. Glad to have you back. It's been – I can't believe we're already heading into August. I don't know where 2018 is going. So
I just want to
read something. You know, as a veteran myself, as someone who served for over 8 years, giving freely to serve and being a first responder as a retired firefighter, I just want to read something before we welcome Alfred in and give a little bit of background about him and the beautiful he's working with first responders and bringing awareness to PTSD. And it's about honor and what is honor. And this is for all of our first responders out there. This is for all of our veterans out there. Anybody listening that is a family member of a veteran, because it's not just the veterans it serves, it's also the families that are supporting our first responders and our veterans. Whether you're a veteran, whether you're active duty, retired, National Guard, or Reserve, what is honor? It is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for amount up to and including my life. That is what honor is, and there's just a lot of people out there that don't realize how many people every single day are getting up to protect us, to help us, to serve us. And again, I just want to honor our veterans, our active duty members, our first responders, and say thank you, thank you, thank you. You are the true inspiration. You are the inspired and the inspiration. And with that, I want to bring on our special guest, Alfred Ricci, talking about PTSD today, his background, and why he started to move into a conscious choice to really look at his past and where he came from. And Alfred made a conscious choice not to let his past dictate who he became. Rising from the ashes and harnessing the power of his early years, living in shelters, a group home, a foster home, while attending 6 high schools in 4 years. Alfred reveals how even the most daunting traumas can be overcome. A double major in economics and business led to an MBA from the University of California. I have to throw a little boo in there, Alfred. Sorry, I'm University of Washington. Just kidding. And a career in international banking. While working in 20 countries, Alfred experienced some highly toxic business cultures. And both Kim and I know firsthand exactly what you're talking about. Combining his experience of releasing trauma with his knowledge of the massive stress of corporate life, Alfred's mission is to share the necessary skills to thrive in traumatic work environments. Alfred has 10 plus years of teaching personal development workshops, including methods to release severe trauma. Quote, there were always people along the way who supported me. I want to pay it forward to as many people as I can. Every company, project, and client is an opportunity to make something better and to help others. If you want to learn more about the work that Alfred is doing, you can go to firstresponderptsd.net. And you can also send information at info@firstresponderptsd.net as well. Alfred, my friend, welcome to Inspired Living Radio.
Welcome.
Tim, Mark, thank you very much for having me on.
And it's been a few years. We were just talking before the show. The first time I met you actually was in Asheville, North Carolina at the Best American Psychics Conference, where we actually got to meet you and have some discussions. And then a few years has passed, and here you are on Inspired Living Radio. So with everything I just went over, if you just want to add to that, or if there's something I missed and you just want to share a little bit more with our global audience, please do so.
Those of us who have served, gave our lives to help others, and been traumatized from it understand the topic that we're talking about, how traumatic it is to serve. You're actually becoming affected by your service. And that's why I've created First Responder PTSD, to serve those who serve, to help those who serve, continue to serve, to help them and support them to make the world a better place. That's my mission.
Well, I love the mission. I support the mission. I myself, you know, first half, I've always been in service, and I always like to remind people the first half of my life I was in service to my country in the Coast Guard. And then I got out after 8 years and became in service to my local community as a local professional firefighter. And after my retirement, I moved into now serving inspiration in the world of spirit and helping those and paying it forward. And I always like to say giving feels good, doesn't it? Paying it forward and helping others. And PTSD, guys, is really a real deal for our first responders, for our veterans, because we're always called to other people's traumas and tragedies to help them through, whether it's a real life emergency or saving a life or pulling them from a burning building or a sinking boat. And over the time, it does take a toll. We've looked at this from a scientific standpoint. And I just want to say I love what you're doing. Thank you. We need more people like you out there in the world helping and bringing awareness, because even myself, I probably didn't want to identify with PTSD for several years. And so it's probably within the last 7 years that I've actually said, yes, I did suffer or do suffer from PTSD.
Yeah, and that's the real hard part that I've seen. A friend of mine showed me an old show with Dennis Leary called Rescue 911.
I used to watch it. Yeah, exactly what you're talking about.
New York firefighters who, it was after 9/11 and what they would go through. And in the first episode, somebody from high up sent a counselor down to talk to the firefighters and be available. And a lot of what I've seen is the suck it up attitude. It's fine. I got this under control. And not being available for the counseling, for the techniques that are that myself and a lot of other people put out there, that if you think you are affected by PTSD, please be available for help. Just because you're serving, just because you're strong, doesn't mean that you're not available or it's weakness to go and get help. It basically means that you're helping, you're leaning on others to allow you to be strong and to continue to serve.
Yeah, exactly. And can I just add to that to say that those of us that do serve or have served, we're always willing to help other people, total strangers, but we're really bad at helping ourselves. We're really bad patients when it comes to this.
It's actually one of my mentors' sayings is there's two lessons in life: how to serve, learning how to serve others, and how to allow others to serve you. Because if we're all going around and serving and helping others and no one's receiving, the world's going to be out of balance. So receiving service, receiving help is actually as important as giving, because if a bunch of people are giving, an equal amount need to receive in order for it to be balanced. Mm-hmm. What I saw through the 911 show with Dennis Leary was they just want to serve. But no, sorry, we're not available for help. I'm not available for help. Mm-hmm. And really, it's that stigmatism that I find is one of the issues about giving PTSD support, trauma support, teaching these classes and teaching these workshops, is are you available to recognize that sometimes, even though you may be the strongest guy in the world, you may need help?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, just for our listeners out there, I just want to remind just a few things not to say to a veteran with PTSD. I work for the Veterans Administration for my day job. And even with my shows, my my Monday morning shows, I'm always bringing up the suicide helpline, the mental health helpline, always putting that number out there for people to reach out and call, because it is manned. There's a team there 365, 24/7. But, you know, a few things, you know, that were said to me was, there's nothing wrong with you. It's all in your head. Or just stop dwelling on it and pull yourself together. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps. I understand. It's like when I, and then they try to relate. People have even asked me if I actually killed anybody while I was in when I was in the military. And those can be all triggers to things not to say to veterans, especially for those that are coming back home. Some would say, oh, you at least made it home. Are you okay? Have you taken your meds? You know, you volunteered for it. These are all bad things to say to those suffering with PTSD. And we're going to be going to our first break here in just a minute. But, Alfred, how can people get a hold of you personally?
Through firstresponderptsd.net, there is a contact form. That would be the easiest.
Okay, so right through the website. And any email or any other information you want to share?
Info@firstresponderptsd.net. It's listed on the show page. It's listed in all the Facebook postings and the emails that we sent out.
Awesome. And again, for our inspired listeners out there, if you want to call in related to the show's topic today, we're talking about first responder PTSD for our first responders, our veterans, those that are serving. The number to call in for Om Times Radio is 1-202-570-7057. We will be taking callers, or if you want to post a question to our closed Facebook page, Inspired Living Radio, please do so, because I think it's going to be a really great conversation for the next 30 minutes. And with that, we're going to head over to our first two-minute break. You are listening to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LOVEFIRST.info for more information. Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim, and our special guest today, Alfred Ricci, as we talk about PTSD. You've been mentioning, Alfred, that a lot of times first responders and people that are in service in that way don't seek out help for themselves. And I'm sure in all of their training, it's like that probably does, I don't know, but I'm guessing that probably isn't a part of the training, is to seek help for yourself. It's probably to be selfless, right? Well, certainly with the veterans or the people in the military, they're out there, you know, ultimately giving up the greatest sacrifice, which would be their life for everybody else's. And so they need to, you know, probably undo some of that thinking with new ways of thinking and understanding things, so that they start to value themselves and they see themselves as also worthy of support, right?
That's absolutely correct. Is, for example, doctors, nurses, they are taught how to be medical professionals, how to deal with medical issues. Veterinarians, again, how to operate, how to deal with illness. What they're not taught is how to deal with families, how to deal with the stress of their life, how to deal with losing patients, losing the people that they're trying to serve. And that's pretty much common throughout the first responder industry, is does your initial training and recertification training include mindfulness, resilience, for example, of how to maintain composure and clarity on the front lines, how to be focused on what's in front of you. You don't want your doctor who's going into an operation thinking about what happened that morning or the day before. You want him to be mindful and in the present moment. You want your first responders to be resilient, that regardless of what happened to them in the past, that they're able to let that go and then be clear so that they can be mindful in the present moment. These are spiritual practices that are very ancient and are very applicable to any type of first responder, so that when they're dealing with a situation, that's all they're focused on. They are performing at their peak ability and not being weighed down or distracted. And the issue, this seems like theory, but the truth is PTSD can lead a first responder to misdiagnose, misjudge, misinterpret, misunderstand, leading to mistakes. And it's not just that a first responder can make mistakes because of the blurriness of what happened to PTSD. There's the organizations that they work for that need to be aware of the consequences of their employees having PTSD. There's so many studies about the high burnout rate and turnover rate of nurses and doctors, which are so needed. Any type of PTSD service organization wants to hold on to their employees, wants to support their employees. So the message that I want to bring in the show is what we're talking about here is not just about individuals. It's about managers and the owners and organizers of organizations to say, look, this is a type of service that you really should be providing to your organization, whether it's initial certification training, recertification. For example, a lot of the hospitals that I've been in are actually requiring emotional intelligence training. Mm. Emotional intelligence is about mindfulness, resilience. We're all talking about the same here. This type of training really needs to be looked at by management as an investment in your important assets. Why? Because number one, it's quite simple. It's not just that you're preventing suicide. It's not just that you're preventing burnout, which is the obvious aspect. You're also, from a management perspective, looking at less lawsuits, less employee turnover, higher employee productivity, higher accuracy. You're getting rid of all the negative aspects of burnout, turnover, suicide. So as a manager of an organization that employs first responders, you really need to look at why this type of training is important and the benefits to not just the individuals, but also the organization. So it's an investment. There is a return on investment for supplying this type of training. And besides the point, you're helping the people who serve, which is the most important.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I love about what you're saying, Alfred, is that, you know, these techniques can be used for the masses, right? I mean, even those that are not in first responder occupations. I mean, how many of us are not present in our daily work or with our family members because we're still going over in our head over and over and over again the argument we had or the loss of a loved one or whatever it may be that causes us a lack of peace inside. And it's just, we're not, you know, our human self doesn't value, we don't tend to value ourselves in that way where we put ourselves first so that we can then be of service to other people. And that's like a big thing that we have to work on within ourselves, because anytime we don't want to accept for ourselves, that's an imbalance within us that we have to take a look at. But beyond that, PTSD is just a very big epidemic today. So, like, what is PTSD, and how does somebody recognize that in themselves or those around them?
Well, that's actually a good point, is recognizing it. I was working with a social work organization, and after we gave every workshop, we asked one question: how many people knew these techniques were available? How many people have seen this stuff before, studied it before, heard about it, used it? And about one quarter, 25%, said yes, they heard of Wayne Dyer, Oprah, Deepak, or something, and they studied, you know, about a quarter of the students knew about it. One quarter was like, you know, my boss told me to be here, please let me go. One half of the respondents in our workshop said, I've never heard of this. I didn't know I had a choice. I didn't know I wasn't the voices in my head. I didn't know I had a choice to change how I feel. I didn't know these techniques were available. And that's part of the mission for me personally, but also why I get on my soapbox about organizations providing this type of training, because it is not normal for this type of emotional intelligence, PTSD, emotional trauma training to be part of a first responder's certification or their education. Half of my social workers did not know this stuff existed, did not know how to let go of the stress and go home happy. They thought it was just normal to slime and just puke all over their family and their friends. They didn't know they had a choice. And that's why it's so important, not just for the individuals to be aware of PTSD, but the management of organizations to say, you know what, maybe my people don't know about this stuff. Maybe there is some type of training to make them aware of what's available. You don't have to slam people with PTSD training. You can just say, hi, here's some stuff that's available. We want to make sure that you know it's available. Make it available so at least they know that they have a choice. Spiritually speaking, isn't that where it all starts? Your awareness, you are aware you have a choice.
Mhm. Mhm. Mark, did you want to say something?
Oh no, I was agreeing, because the culture environment of the first responders in which they find themselves, whether it's in a firehouse, part of a brotherhood, it's not really addressed. It was never brought up in the 13 years as a firefighter. It was starting to come into our environment, but again, within the culture, it's a sign for many. It's a sign of weakness that you don't want to address those emotions. And like Alfred just said, coming home after a 24-hour shift, almost feeling drunk from the adrenaline and the cortisone that releases in the body, the stress hormones that release into the body. If you go on, you know, let's say you go on 20 calls in a day, that's 20 different tragedies or 20 different traumas. And the awareness is a big part of it. And Eckhart Tolle talks about this, that the greatest agent for change is your own awareness.
Yeah, and that's where it starts, Mark. And let's give the audience some tidbits that they can actually think about. What is the fundamental principle that all of this is based on? I call this the glass half full, glass half empty lesson, and it's one of the fundamental spiritual principles that applies to everybody around the world. I don't care who you are. Is if you have a glass that's half full, you're going to look at it and say, why is my glass half empty? Why does God not love me? How come I'm being punished? Oh my God, my glass is going to run out. What did I do to deserve only half a glass of water? Mm-hmm. That is negative thinking. That creates negative emotions. That creates negative energy that settles itself into your body, that makes you depressed, that makes you sick. On the other hand, you can look at the same exact situation and say, I am so grateful I have a half a glass of water. There's people that don't even have water. How could I be so lucky to have water? If I need a sip, it's right there in front of me. You're taking the same exact issue, the same exact experience, but instead, how you're dealing with it is gratefulness through positive thought. Yes, this is a very simple, you could think of it as a 1 pound weight, whereas PTSD is like a 100 pound weight. Well, the fact is you can ramp up that simple theory to say, it is not what happened outside of me that determines how I feel. That is the most important awareness, specifically to PTSD and trauma related, is yes, when you go to the gym, you can see people lifting 300-400 pound weights, but they've been using the principle of making themselves stronger, using that principle of being able to deal with those heavy weights for a long time. I've been lifting weights for 35 years. I can go and lift a lot, and people say, ooh, how did you learn how to do that? Through consistent practice. If you consistently practice the awareness, is it's not what is outside of you that determines how you feel, then you can deal with more difficult and more traumatic experiences. The truth is, I and many other people have been through such nasty trauma, and there's a few of us who popped out the other side and say, wow, I'm happy. I'm grateful. I love my life no matter the nasty stuff that has happened to us. And because I have learned, I have popped out the other side, and I'm dedicating my life to say, I want to share this with people. I want to share that, yes, when you go to the gym, you start with 1 pound and you start with 5 pounds, and you're looking at the guy lifting 400 pounds and saying, I can never get there. And I'm saying, yes, you can. You can practice, you can use these principles to deal with nasty, horrible stuff. 24 years, I was suicidal, drug addict, alcoholic. 6 months of applying these principles, I woke up one day happy, stopped doing drug, gave away all my booze, and I'm saying, wow, there's something to this. If you apply the principles of being aware that it's not what's external to you that determines how you feel and how you think.
Mm-hmm. And now you're here on Inspired Living Radio sharing your message literally with the globe as we broadcast through the internet all around the planet. And, you know, you triggered a memory for me because we actually had a firefighter. I remember this very clearly. You're talking about the glass half full and the glass half empty. And I remember this gentleman we had to work with on shift, we'd all dread it because he was like the Eeyore of the shift. And he would actually say to us, I never was even given a glass. So he would go even deeper on the negative scale to even say that there was even no glass giving to him to even measure where his gratitude was or his lack of gratitude. And, you know, that just kind of triggered a memory that there are, you know, those that are first responders that have that idea and that mentality. And he had a lot of problems too with his health, looking back at it now. And I remember Peter Levine. Do you know Dr. Peter Levine? He does a lot of trauma. And he had talked about, when I was going through my counseling, he talked about that trauma is a fact of life. but it does not, however, have to be a life sentence. We don't have to carry that with us. And after your 24 years, you decided to set that suitcase down and move into an attitude for gratitude and a life that you're loving. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I am living proof that I don't care how nasty, how horrible, how insane, how traumatic the event or multiple events were that you've been through. There are scientifically proven techniques that I've proven on myself. I was my own guinea pig that have proven myself and people through my workshops, my one-on-ones, that I don't care how long you've been carrying it. I don't care how long it was, how difficult it was, how insane it was, how life-changing it was. You can apply these principles to change your life as an individual, and you as an organization, a manager within those organizations, can provide basic training to your first responders to at least, at a minimum, make them aware that these principles are available. Again, half of the people, it's social workers, in my workshops did not know these principles, were aware until the president of the organization hired us to come in and do the workshops.
Alfred, you've spoken about mindfulness and resilience. What is the difference between the two?
So mindfulness is being in the moment. Sound familiar? So you are being mindful.
It sounds familiar, but the human side of us is really bad at it, typically speaking.
Yes, it is incredibly difficult. And that's the problem, the fun stuff with being spiritual, is you realize your happiness depends on you working the principles. So, for example, mindfulness is being mindful. Here's a good one for those of us who understand corporate. How many times have both of you heard, I'm so stressed I can't see straight?
Oh, sure, yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Commonplace, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and what do they tell you? I was working for a large consulting firm, and they'd say, work through it. Well, if you're so stressed and you can't see straight, what do you think the quality of your work is going to be? What do you think the breadth of the options or the possible solutions are going to be when you're so stressed you can't see straight? Stress actually reduces your ability to come up with good solutions and do good quality work. Okay. Mindfulness is recognizing, oh, I'm stressed. I'm bringing something into what I'm doing in the moment. I'm not peaceful. Let me go walk around outside for 5 or 10 minutes. Let me take a few deep breaths. And literally, I've taken my people outside to go walk around on the grass, to go look at a flower. And they're looking at me like, are you insane? And I'm like, go ahead, just do it. When you're stressed out of your mind, go look at a flower for 2 minutes. Okay? And come back in. And all of a sudden, you've invested a total of maybe 10 to 15 minutes. Now, all of a sudden, you can take a larger perspective. You can take a step back. You can look at it without judgment. Now, all of a sudden, you're able to come up with different solutions, possible clearer solutions, higher quality solutions, because you may have missed something that you weren't able to see for a total investment of 10 to 15 minutes. That's being mindful, is being aware.
And hold
that thought,
Alfred. Do you
guys need
to run? Yeah, we're going into our last break here, so we'll be back in 2 minutes. In those 2 minutes, you can go outside and take a look at the flowers and come back and be present with us.
I love it.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the intuitive prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And welcome back to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim, and our special guest today, Alfred Ricci, as we talk about PTSD. So, Alfred, we are talking about what mindfulness means, and you had mentioned, you know, just a simple concept of going outside, taking a walk, which isn't simple for the human side of us, you know, typically, right? Go outside, take a walk, look at the flowers, because I remember back in my corporate days, I would have lunch at my desk, you know. Mm-hmm. I would have lunch at my desk. I'd go grab something, bring it back, or just bring my lunch so as not to lose time. So, that I could see would, you know, I understand the benefits of that, but I also see the difficulty that you must come across at times working with the corporate world, because that's definitely not the mindset, right? It's not the mindset.
Correct. It's not the mindset. The mindset is, especially being trained in graduate school, is stress is your friend. If
right.
you're not stressed out of your mind, you're not working hard enough. But the proof is, the truth is that you lose productivity. Yes, you're working 10, 12-hour days. Great. But how clear is your communication, your ability to speak? How clear is your documentation, your explanations? How are you able to work with others in teams? How able are you to lead when you're short-circuiting? Okay, and this is the emotional intelligence part of it. This is part of the training. We're trying to keep the topic very short here, but the emotional intelligence training that I do says quite simply, what is inside of you determines how you speak, how you work within teams, how you lead. All comes from what's inside of you. And if what's inside of you is short-circuiting, then you can just basically understand that your communication is going to short-circuit, your teamwork is going to short-circuit, and your leadership is going to short-circuit. So the emotional intelligence training and workshops that we do goes to the inside to get out those things that you're bringing along. And that's the second point, resilience. The first topic was mindfulness, being mindful in the moment. But the problem with being mindful is there something that happened? You're a firefighter and couldn't get a kid out in time. You're a doctor No, the statistics are you're probably going to lose somebody on the operating table. Are you able to be resilient to release that past experience, that past trauma, so that you can be fully prepared for the next event, the next operation, the next time you're going to go save somebody? So the resilience practices have to do with release of trauma. How do you let go of that nasty memory? How is it possible to let go of that? And so the resilience is, if you learn how to be, say, Mr. Teflon, this is not being strong. Everybody, if you're walking through a river, is going to get wet. I don't care how strong you are. If you think you can walk through a river and not get wet, that's like being a first responder and saying PTSD doesn't affect me. It's not going to happen. That's why I'm saying that it's not just the individuals that need to pay attention to this, but management to say, have you had some training to teach your people, regardless of who they are, to let go of what happened to them before so they can be mindful and focused on the moment? For example, do you think you want your doctor worrying about what his wife is doing? He found out his wife is cheating and he's going to go do an operation and he's thinking about his wife cheating. Do you really want that doctor operating on you?
No.
Or would you hope and pray that that doctor has some type of resilience techniques to say, I need to let that go so I can be 100% available and mindful for the person who's in front of me so I can do the best job? And that's when the results happen. See, we're not just talking about suicide, but all of the little stages that happen in between. There's four levels of PTSD and compassion fatigue. It's not just you have PTSD and want to kill yourself. No, it's that there, you go down the scale, the defined scale of PTSD, but the issue is as you move towards this stuff piling up, the negativity piling up, not being able to let it go, not having the resilience techniques, that's when the errors happen. That's when you start getting burnt out. That's when you start taking sick days. That's when there's absenteeism and turnover. That's mm-hmm. when communication is more difficult. That's when you're not able to get to your documentation. And when you do the documentation, you're just like, okay, let me just get it done, instead of doing it properly. All of those things happen not just on a personal level, but on an organizational level, which is why this is a return on investment for organizations to invest in helping people. This is not throwing money out the water. You're helping people so that they can work at a higher productivity, more accuracy, with higher quality. That's why resilience, the training for resilience, is so important. And you know, you all who are watching the show may have heard this before. It's to let go of the past. It's, again, a basic principle of spirituality, mm-hmm. that in order to be spiritual, to be happy, to be calm, to be peaceful, to be spiritual is through exercises of letting go of the past, letting go of what happened, so that you can be in the moment. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. So what is one technique that our audience can take away that would help them or assist them in letting go of trauma? Because that's a big thing. I mean, what's one thing they can do on their own that would help them with that?
Okay. So would you like a mindfulness exercise or resilience exercise? Mindfulness exercises are quite simple. Go for a walk, go look at a flower, go pet the dog, go stare at a bird that's flying by, go watch the clouds, okay? That helps you become peaceful. The resilience exercises, okay, let's pick a resilient exercise because we're talking about PTSD here. We're walking into the gym and picking up 300-pound weight, okay? So resilience exercise, I'll give you one, an actual exercise I did every single workshop when I was working with social workers because it was so prevalent every single time. The social workers, and it applies to doctors, nurses, EMT, vets, they all say the same exact thing, which is, I could have saved that one. I didn't save that one. And it haunts them because they're focusing on the one that they didn't save. Okay. So you can imagine the negativity that they're carrying forward, the personal guilt, the remorse. And because that thought is in their head, it clouds their judgment every single time they go into a similar situation. So what can you do? Okay, and because we're going to make this quick, I will make the exercise quick. I want to make just that this is a day-long course, and we're trying to squeeze it into a half hour or an hour. Okay. So what do you do? The very first thing is to recognize and say, okay, this is a really nasty thought I have in my head. Following the glass half full, glass half empty. Again, people do this for years and years and years, and I'm explaining how to just walk into the gym and pick up 300 pounds. Yeah, it's going to hurt. You look at it and say, look at the other 10, 20, 30 people over the last week that I have helped. Look at all the success. I am in service. God has allowed me to be in service. I'm grateful to be in service and helping people and to remember the people that you did help, to remember the successes that you had, to remember why you're in service, what you've overcome, to be proud of yourself for what you've overcome in order to be in service. And that because of your service, you've helped so many other people and changed those people's lives. Yes, your mind is going to remind you again of the one person you didn't help. And you say, it's impossible to be perfect. Mm-hmm. You cannot be perfect. You cannot dwell on and beat yourself up because you're not perfect. We are in human form. You cannot be perfect. You cannot do everything perfect. You don't even know if you're doing everything perfect. If you're in human form, there's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. You are going to screw up. That is a fact of life. Instead, you just say, yes, okay, I'm not perfect. I did the best job I could. My intention was to be of service. My intention was to help. And the second part of this is to let go of the expectation of your service. If you are expecting people to be grateful for your service, if you are expecting every single time to have a positive outcome for your service, if you are expecting to save the person every single time that you are doing your job, you're setting yourself up for problems. Okay? Mm-hmm. So a basic spiritual principle is letting go of expectations. We're injecting it with about a pound of steroids at this point in time to say, if you can say, my focus was on serving. I did the best job I could. I was mindful. I did the best job I could. I let go of the expectation whether the person, I saved the person or not. The outcome does not matter. What matters is you are of service. You continue to be of service. You serve with your whole heart. That is what you keep in your mind. If you focus again on the glass half empty, which is I have an expectation that I'm going to save everybody, you're going to beat yourself up. So the part of mindfulness is, are you focusing on the expectation of your service? Okay, great. I have an expectation. I'm going to save everybody. No, can't do that. Have to let that thought go and go back to focusing on I am of service and I do the best job I can. That's where I'm focusing on. The second part is letting go of the expectation that I'm going to be perfect in my job, because then you're just beating yourself up. That is the short version of an exercise to help people.
Awesome. Alfred, thank you so much for sharing that with us. And again, for our listeners, if they want to get more in depth, they can visit you at
firstresponderptsd.net.
And they can do a whole workshop, a whole day getting in. I just want to remind our listeners, you know, healing is not an overnight process. It's literally a daily cleansing of your pain. It's a daily healing of your life. You know, I always remind people that, you know, sometimes the smallest step in that right direction ends up being the biggest step of your life. And stress, you know, there's good stress and bad stress, but stress is one of the number one killers of us all. And, you know, I was just thinking, as a first responder, the average life expectancy of a first responder when I was serving in the fire service was 54. So I'd be curious to see, by having more mindfulness and awareness and addressing this, if the average age of a first responder would actually increase, because we're now balancing between not only the physical trauma, but the emotional, mental, and spiritual trauma. So I just want to say thank you for doing what you do, Alfred. Thank you for the mission. Thank you for sharing your inspirational story today with Inspired Living Radio and all of our listeners. Kim, anything else you want to say before we close out?
No, I just think this is a great topic because, you know, more people need to take care of themselves, really in all capacities, but for sure, you know, in some of these occupations that require that even more. But these are things that every one of us can use to support our own wellness and well-being. So, yes, thank you, Alfred, for being with us today and sharing your message.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Alfred,
for being of service.
And we'll be here next Wednesday, at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Never stop believing. Never give up. The day will come. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, caring, and compassionate. Have a great week, everyone. Namaste.